So here we are, 2 days before the last day of the year, and what a year it's been. And so this morning, I believe God told me to actually bring you some encouragement for this year. This is not the all things are past, all things have become new sermon that is normally preached on the New Year's or anything like that. It's just a word of encouragement, but from Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, which is a great chapter. But when we finish your reading, I think you'll think that perhaps it's not much to do with, you know, the new year. Let's just stay vividly with this. So 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 11. Now concerning the times and seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware of the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying there is peace and security, then some destruction will come upon them as labour pains come upon a pregnant woman. They will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk in the night. But we belong to the day. Let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. And you'll see in there, there's actually a lot of words from our song this morning, hope. Peace and love, faith and love, yeah, and hope. All there, they're all there. And this morning there's been various things that have been happening that God has confirmed to me why I had to speak this morning. He keeps doing that. I'm very grateful for it. Because sometimes you feel a little bit that, you know, perhaps you're not delivering the sermon that everybody needs to hear. But God has got it in hand. So why is it always that the new year is a time of reflection? Why does that do that to us? Why are we looking forward, perhaps, looking back as a thing, whether it's been a good year or a bad year, a hard year or an easy year? And why are we looking forward into the next year to hope perhaps it will be better? Or certainly not worse? And there's lots of things that have influence on this, sometimes because we meet with our friends and families. And they bring us to a point of reassessment, because it's often at Christmas that we do meet with them and have good times with them. Or then there's the people who perhaps just send us a message on Christmas saying Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. And they take it off everybody, they send it to everybody on their contact list, and off we go. And perhaps it's that brings us to a point, you know, do these people actually remember us? Have they just pressed the button automatically? I do think the cards are a little bit more personal. Somebody has to actually get a card, write it and post it. Give it to somebody. But then we start to compare ourselves with people. Perhaps their card comes in a lovely embossed card. It's very, very beautiful. Or perhaps it's a cheap charity one that you get for £1. Or perhaps it's just a little card that sometimes you get. And a Christmas card sort of brings us to think, well, where am I in comparison to them? The same with our families when we meet them. Where are we in comparison to them? A sort of bit my brother Matthew used to, I've got 5 brothers and 1 sister for those who don't know, and we all used to meet up with all our families down at my brother Matthew's house. And depending on what vehicle you turned up in, you know, was indicative of where you were, perhaps in the scale, whether you were the poor relative or the rich one. So it's a time of analysis, and perhaps you're gathering groups that are in areas. And when you talk to the people like that, it's a very strange time of year. And you compare your children as well. Are they children going to university, or are they all sitting at home doing nothing? It's a difficult thing to do, to go through a new year and wonder what's going on. And this was a very, very human thing to do. We all do that. If anybody doesn't, then come and see me. And I might not be fully believing as you expect. But the Thessalonians, see, had an even deeper concern. And their deeper concern was something about the day of the Lord. I'm not going to go into too much detail about that, but that brings us to a point of what they were wanting. Now, Paul had been there and obviously had explained to them in some detail what the day of the Lord meant and what was going to happen. And I imagine that probably brought a little bit of fear to them, a little bit of scare. And people, you know, we concentrate on the bad things, don't we? If somebody tells us something, we're not looking for all the good things, we're looking for the bad things. Rather like a newspaper in the headlines, you know, Lapland disaster. A Lapland disaster, it hasn't snowed this year. And so going to see Santa is not the same as if it had snowed a lot. We expect snow and Santa at the North Pole. If snow's not there, then that's a disaster. Well, no, that's not a disaster. That's just a natural occurrence. Yeah. It's the same, and lots of headlines you see, that whether you flick through the news, the headline is terribly, terribly different to what's actually happening in when you read it. It's not that awful after all, perhaps. So talking about the day of the Lord would seem very, very ominous to people. And so it's the same around this time of the year, a new year heading into 2025. We have no idea what's going to happen. There are things that have changed in 2024. We now have a Labour government. The Americans now have Trump back in power. We don't know what's going to happen. And so right at the new year, all our worries and concerns seem to come to the forefront. What's going to happen in the next year? And all these worries and headlines have been, and obviously come to the Thessalonians' head, and somehow or other, they're communicated this to Paul, so Paul wrote them a letter. And they had a solution for it. And their solution was, if we know everything about the day of the Lord, when he's coming, what's going to happen, we'll be all right. Everything is going to be fine, we can time it, we can move at the right time, go to the right place at the right time to get out of trouble. It's going to be all right. And Paul blows that one up. He says, that's not going to happen. In fact, he says, we can't know that date. And this is repeated from what some of Jesus says in Mark 13, 32 to 37. He says, but concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each of his work, and commands a doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Jesus is saying here, I don't even know. So how are you going to know? I don't even know what's going to happen. How are you? The solution is stay awake. And Jesus follows us up in Acts 1 as well, saying, it's not for you to know. It's not for you to know. You don't have to know or need to know. It's not for you to know. So all the time we spend trying to work out what's happening in the world, perhaps, or when Jesus is coming again exactly, is a little bit of a waste of time. And it becomes a distraction to us. So our mind is so focused on that, that we miss the point of why we're here. One, to glorify God. Two, to tell other people about Jesus. And we can get so distracted with other things going on around us that we're not doing that job. We're trying to work out the times and the seasons. So all these calculations were found to be right. They'll set unrealistic expectations. If we go back to the 1900s, when the Jehovah's Witnesses believed that Jesus was coming again in 1914, that set a whole load of expectations that didn't happen, as far as we're aware. It's the same with Christians. We keep predicting when something's going to happen, or this means this, or this means that. And yes, we're supposed to know the times. I'm not denying that. But we don't know exactly what things are going to happen. So there's more a level of calculating it out and much more of faith and of staying awake. But what does staying awake mean? Does it mean we stay awake all night? We don't get any sleep? That's not going to happen, surely. Indeed, for me, anyway, certainly, I like sleep. I don't know about people who do. I like sleep, I like to sleep. So Paul uses two metaphors to explain how the day of the Lord is. The first one is a bit uncomfortable to talk about. It's a thief in the night, or a burglar, we would describe it. They don't tell us when they were coming. They don't put an alert out saying, you know, I'm not burgling your house tomorrow, please be out. That doesn't come. They come unexpectedly. They come at a time we're not expecting them to be there. So what do we do? Or labour pains. Well, in pregnancy, they are expected at some point towards the end of that 9 months. But it rarely is the same for every child. All four of us came at different times. It's rarely when you expect it, and it can be quite inconvenient. Who was it who put mum in hospital for weeks and weeks on and off? Yes, Naomi. About three times we took her to hospital. Three times we took mum to hospital, and she didn't come out. So the carefully calculated dates, even when it comes to pregnancy, tend to be wrong or inaccurate. Yeah. But the other thing about pregnancy is it's unavoidable. You can't get to 12 months pregnant with a human child, because it will come at some point. But it's difficult to predict when that's going to happen exactly. We don't actually know when the mother is going to give birth. And you see lots of programs where people are about to give birth and some of the pains come on. It comes on suddenly. It's not predictable as to when. But we can be prepared. Your very sure alarm maybe will be helpful for the burglar in the night. For your birth, you have your bag packed and have it in a certain place so you know where it is so you can grab hold of it. Or that even the midwife then talks you through what's going to happen so you're prepared when it does happen. These are all things that are helpful to do so we can be prepared. You've read the books, you've talked to the midwife, and you know what to do. You know they're going to get more intense, the labour pains. Thank you, honour man. And the time to part and the barrels there will give you some sort of idea of when that baby is coming. But it's about being prepared, being ready, having things in place already, that we're ready to be reacting the right way to what God does in our lives and in our situations. Paul also brings a parallel, see? There's a difference between Christians and non-Christians. And he makes that very clear. There's people who live in the dark and people who live in the light. If we was to draw an analogy from that, or we'll take that, Jesus, when he's coming to predict it in Isaiah 9, verse 2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. So Jesus, the light of the world, has come into our lives, and so we see things. Because you can't see much in the dark, but you can in the light. So Paul was saying to them, there's no need to fear the day of the Lord, because you're in the light. And being in the light has so much more implications. Knowing Jesus as your Lord and Saviour is so much important to us. So we don't need to fear the day of the Lord, because we already belong to him. Because we're already his children, because we already know him. And we know that he's coming to us in a different way. And so if you even think about judgment, perhaps if Jesus did come next year, even judgment, although we are to face it, we have an advocate. And we have somewhere to go. John 14, 1-3 says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So there's a place prepared for us. For those who love Jesus, those of us who know Jesus, there's a place prepared for us. And when it comes to judgment, there is somebody to talk to us, talk for us, on our behalf. So even though we're standing for a mighty God, who says you've sinned. Jesus stands in the way and says, but my blood has washed that sin away. My blood has paid for that sin. My blood has set this person free. He doesn't get to have the results of the punishment, what we should have. And that gives us confidence. Jesus says that I died, but that punishment would be removed from them. That's why we live in the light. That's why we're living in the light. And that's why we don't have the same worries as people around us. Don't have the same concerns, because we know that Jesus has our back. That he's beside us, he's around us. And that confidence gives us a different view on life, on the day of the Lord, on 2025. It gives us a different view of all the things that could possibly happen. Because you don't know what's going to happen, but God does. We don't know where the political world is going to go, whether the war's going to end, or what's going to happen here, there, and everywhere. The Bible tends to suggest it's going to get worse. Okay, but for us, that's not what matters. For us is that we know Jesus and we stay constant to him. We stay alert, we stay believing, we stay strong, we stay firm in our faith, and we do that for each other. So if one person's feeling down, somebody else should be putting their arm around and encouraging them and saying, actually, it's all right, Jesus has got this. God has got this, he's under control. 2025 is in God's hands, not in Trump's, not in Putin's, not in Starmer's, not in anybody else, not in Badenoch, whoever we think is going to be in power of doing things, not in Farage's, it's in God's hands. And if we understand that, we keep our minds and our focus on that, then we don't live as people of darkness, we live as people of light. You belong to Jesus, you are forgiven, you are set free, you are saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. And heading back to what we did at the start of the year, we talked about salvation. If we can have this confidence in Jesus, then whatever happens this year should not bring fear. If the worst should happen, then we are Christ's. If the best should happen, we're still Christ's. If it's a good year, we still belong to Jesus. If it's a bad year, we still belong to Jesus. And so we can step into 2025 with confidence not in me, not in anybody else, not in the pastors, not in the leaders, not in the Christian leaders, but in Jesus. Not in peacemakers or teachers or governments, but in Jesus. Romans 8, 31-39 says it well more, a lot better than I can. So let's just read this slowly. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not all with him, also with him, graciously give us all things? God didn't withhold, the Father didn't withhold Jesus from us. He gave him to the world to save sinners, to save sin. He didn't withhold him. He's not going to withhold anything good from us either. And the good things, all the best things we can have, are in our future. Whether we die, we're with Jesus. Wherever we live, we're in Jesus. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? We might go into a time of persecution as Christians. But who can bring a charge to the only of God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who can condemn? Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who dies. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, and we come to it, who indeed is interceding for us. He's the one who stands in our place between the Father and us and says, actually, I've saved them by my blood. I did that sacrifice for them. As it is written, who shall separate us from the love of God, Christ? Shall tribulation, trouble, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, Paul says, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We've conquered 2024. We're going to go on and be conquerors in 2025 too.
Amen.
Yeah? For I am sure that neither death. Death can't separate us from God. In fact, from Jesus, it brings us closer in some ways. That we're with him, that we've got eternity with him. Nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, whether they be governmental powers or spiritual powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, church, all the things that we think have happened that are happening now, even now, God stands in our place. And looking into 2025, we stand with faith, with trust, and we're alert, we're ready, we've done the preparation, we know our hearts are right with God, yet we stand firm knowing that his love will take us through if we know him as our Lord and Saviour. So we can step into confidence into 2025, knowing that Jesus has us in his hands, firmly in his arms. And these are the things we should be perhaps encouraging Mary with, that he's got us. And I think Mary already knows, if I know Mary at all, just from the short time that I've met her, that she knows actually that God's got her. And the end is not when death comes. The end doesn't come because it's with Jesus. And because we live on with Jesus. So go into 2025 with confidence, knowing that God has got you, that he loves you, and that nothing at all can separate you from his love. Whatever happens, be encouraged. Amen.
Amen. Amen.